Hey there, Jack Hager. Great to be with you again. Last time we looked at why do Christians get sick? Why do Christians suffer? And I concluded it could be God's judgment. More than likely, it's simply a natural result of the fall. Or it could be God's will accomplished in their life. Could be a failure to pray. A whole lot of things could factor in there. But let's move on. How does God heal? How does God heal? And the best answer to that is any way he chooses. He's not confined to our theology. He's not confined to our preferences. He's not even confined to our convictions. He's God. We're not. That's the message of the Bible. One thing I would say as we get started, the verse in Isaiah, by his stripes we are healed, that has nothing to do with physical healing. Look at the context. It's healing from the judgment of sin. By his stripes, by his death, by his atoning sacrifice, we are healed from the punishment of sin. We're not going to go to hell. But you cannot use that verse as some name it, claim it, blab it, grab it verse that God's going to heal. Don't take verses out of context. Does God still heal? Absolutely. Does he need a man to do that? No. Does he need some hotshot in a three-piece suit on TBN? No. He heals any way he chooses. A couple examples. Matthew chapter 9, beginning at verse 27. And as Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, saying, "Have mercy on us, son of David." And when he entered the house, the blind men came up to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "It shall be done to you according to your faith." Not anybody else's, according to your faith. Verse 30, and their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly warned them, saying, "See that no one knows about this." But they went out and spread the news about him throughout all that land. I wonder, is that a little bit of reverse psychology? Jesus tells them not to do that, knowing they will? I don't know. But later on in Matthew chapter 20, verse 29 through 34, and as they were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. And behold, two blind men, this is obviously a different situation, and behold, two blind men sitting by the road, hearing that Jesus was passing by, cried out saying, "Lord, have mercy on us, son of David." But the crowd sternly told them to be quiet. But they cried out all the more, saying, "Lord, son of David, have mercy on us." And Jesus stopped. Amazing three words. And Jesus stopped and called them and said, "Why, what do you want me to do for you?" They said to him, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." Again, moved with compassion, Jesus touched their eyes, and immediately they regained their sight and followed him. Here's another passage in Luke chapter 18, starting at verse 35 to 43. By the way, the passage in Matthew 20 and this passage in Luke 18 is one that naysayers will say proves that the Bible is contradictory. They'll say these are two stories of the same fact and the stories are different. No, they're not. In Matthew 20, they were leaving Jericho. In Luke 18, now it happened that as Jesus was approaching Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the road begging. Now hearing a crowd going by, he began to inquire what this was. They reported to him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." And he called out saying, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And those who went ahead were rebuking him so that he would be quiet, but he kept crying out all the more, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped. There's those three words again. And Jesus stopped. Parenthetical thought. When you bow your head in prayer, Jesus stops to listen. Amazing. And Jesus stopped and commanded that he be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus questioned him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And he said, "Lord, I want to regain my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has saved you." Immediately he regained his sight and began following Jesus, glorifying God. And when all the people saw it, they gave praise to God. By the way, that's the result of God doing a miracle. God gets praised. Not the evangelist, not the healer. God gets praised. Here's another example, Mark chapter 8, beginning at verse 22. And they came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to Jesus and pleaded with him to touch him. And taking the blind man by the hand, he brought him out of the village, and after spitting on his eyes and laying his hands on him, he was asking him, "Do you see anything?" And the man looked up and was saying, "I see men, but I see them like trees walking around." Then again, Jesus laid his hands on him, on his eyes, and he looked intently and was restored and began to see everything clearly. Here it took Jesus twice. Why? I don't know. But it took Jesus twice to restore this man's sight. Another example, John chapter 9, beginning at verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a blind man, blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind?" And Jesus answered, I believe with a sigh, and Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this was so that the works of God might be made manifest in him. We must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is a day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground, made clay of the saliva, and rubbed the clay on his eyes, and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is translated sent. So he went away and washed and came back seeing. So in those brief passages, Jesus heals in different ways. He talks about the healed person's faith. He talks about spitting on eyes. Then he talks about spitting on the ground, making saliva. There's different ways of healing. Don't put God in a box for anything, but maybe especially in the realm of healing. And by the way, you know I've got multiple myeloma, and this is a cancer that's labeled as not curable, but treatable. And thus far, it's been treatable. It could go south at any moment. And I'd sure appreciate you praying for healing, but it's God's trip. It's God's choice. And there's a time for me to pass away, just like there's a time for you to die. It is appointed unto all men once to die. God knows when that's going to happen. So pray for me, but pray that God's will be done. When you're praying for a Christian for physical healing, realize that the ultimate healing for a Christian is, in fact, death. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning at verse 6, "Therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are of good courage, and prefer rather to be absent from the body, and to be at home with the Lord. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to Him." The Apostle Paul said, "Man, I'd rather be out of this place, but there's work for me to do here. Regardless, my times are in His hands. Regardless, He knows when I'm going to pass away. Regardless, He knows what's up." Let's look back on to see whose faith is important regarding healing. Mark chapter 2. And when Jesus had come back to Capernaum several days afterward, it was heard that he was at home. And many were gathered together, so that there was no longer room, not even near the door, as he was speaking the word to them. And they came, bringing to him a paralytic, carried by four men. And being unable to bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof over where he was, and when they had dug an opening, they let the mat down where the paralytic was lying. And Jesus, seeing their faith. Whose faith? The men carrying the paralytic. When Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, "Child, your sins are forgiven." But some of the scribes are sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak this way? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus, aware in his spirit that they're reasoning their way, said to them, "Why are you reasoning about these things in your heart? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and pick up your mat and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of God has authority over earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, 'I say to you, get up, pick up your mat, go to your home.' And he got up, he immediately picked up the mat, and went out before everyone, so that they were all amazed and were glorifying God." Again, the purpose of miracles is to bring glory to God. And the reason they call them miracles, they don't happen all the time. Luke chapter 22. Verse 50, and one of them struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his right ear. Apparently, Peter wasn't too good of the sword. And one of them struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus answered and said, stop, no more of this. And he touched his ear and healed him. Matthew chapter 17, beginning at verse 14. And when they came to the crowd, a man came up to Jesus, falling on his knees, saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he has seizures and suffers terribly, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him. And Jesus answered, again with a sigh, I believe, and said, O you unbelieving and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked him, and the demon came out of him, and the boy was cured at once. And the disciples came to Jesus and privately and said, why could we not cast it out? And he said to them, because of your little faith. Not the boy's, not the father, but because of the disciples' little faith. John chapter 4, beginning at verse 46. And then he came to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And there was a royal official whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and was asking him to come down and heal his son, for he was about to die. So Jesus said to him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will never believe. The royal official said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. And Jesus said to him, go home, your son lives. The man believed that Jesus spoke was true. Whose faith is important? It varies. Whose faith is important? It's different. Don't put God in a box. Hear me on this. No human being has the right to tell you that your lack of faith is the reason you're not being healed or the reason God isn't answering your prayers. That's the job of the Holy Spirit, not some slick dude in a three-piece suit on TV. Also hear this. No one has the right to tell you that you are sick because God is punishing you. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. No one else's. Understand this. Does God still heal? Absolutely. I am absolutely confident in the doctors at the VA. The Kansas City VA is treating me so well, so professionally, so thoroughly. I have absolute confidence in them. But beyond that, my confidence is in the one who holds my life in the palm of his hands. And if he wants to heal me of this cancer immediately, no problem. But if he chooses to work through these medical professionals using phenomenal medical treatments to treat my cancer, that's cool too. Either way, God is going to be glorified. Either way, I'm going to give God the credit. Either way, I'm going to praise the VA. But beyond that, I'm going to praise God. You can have some heated discussions about this stuff, and you may disagree with me. If you do, please get in touch with me, jack.hager@gmail.com. I'm more than willing to discuss. And by the way, when discussing or arguing these things or anything else, remember, what is more important? Your opinion? Faith? No, neither of those things. 1 Corinthians 13. But now abide faith, hope, and love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. Chapter 14, verse 1, pursue love. Any dead fish can float downstream. Jesus says, pursue love. Love one another. Encourage one another. Be kind to one another. Yes, rebuke one another, but don't focus on that. When you're discussing or arguing with a fellow believer, make love the undergirding basis of your discussion. Speak the truth in love, but please speak the truth. Don't be silent because you're afraid you're going to hurt somebody's feelings. Christians are notorious for almost saying something. Friend, if you've got sickness in your life, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. I don't think that means for everything. I'm not thanking God for cancer, but in the midst of my cancer, I'm trying to thank God for the opportunity to use this negative to open doors that I may brag on Jesus. I suggest you do the same. Hey, thanks for joining me. Again, if you have disagreements on this or agreements, I'd love to talk to you. I'd love to get in touch with you. But until the next time, this is Jack Hager asking you to continue 2 Peter 3:18ing. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Adios.